Found in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, verse, it's recorded in history. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You know how much I love you. You know how much I love this congregation and everyone assembled here. So we're going to dispense with preliminaries and go right into what we have to say this morning. The subject on my mind is questions. When we think about the fall of Adam, we immediately consider verses like Romans 5, where it says, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We know that great consequence of Adam's fall was our death and separation from God that required the death of Christ and his separation from his Father. We consider the sufferings that we go through as a part of the consequences of the fall. But a consequence of the fall that perhaps we don't often consider, but yet probably affects us as much as any, especially on a day-by-day basis, is the questions of life that we now encounter. If you read Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, I just recently noticed this, and maybe you already know it, and I hope that you do, but this struck me. As you read the first chapter and the second chapter of Genesis, there's not the first question mark found. Not one time. The first question that ever entered into this world was not introduced by God. God is always a God of clarity. The Bible teaches us that he is not the author of confusion, but rather of peace among the churches. But yet the fact remains that you and I have many questions in our minds that we encounter and go through and have to wrestle with and try to ponder about and find solutions. How many industries exist in our nation and in this world simply because of that one punctuation mark of a question? There are, in this community, I'm sure, CPAs because you don't know how to do your taxes because we have a tax code that is very complicated and you have questions about how to just simply tell the government how much money you made and how much you owe them, and so you have to pay somebody to instruct you in how to do that correctly so you don't fall into trouble with the legal authorities. How many have financial advisors to try to help and guide you through your working years to retirement so that you'll know how much you need to live on in your retirement days? How many of you have attorneys to help you with legal questions? How many go to therapists to find help with mental struggles? How many go to doctors because we have questions about health concerns? How many of us have psychiatrists to try to guide us? How many have pastors to try to help us with spiritual matters, to guide and lead us in the Word of God because we need help, because we have questions? But there was a time in creation when there were absolutely no questions whatsoever. Think about in your young years, especially young people right now. Here are three things that are vital for you to consider and to find the right answer to. Who will I marry? Where will I live? And what will my career be? You know, Adam didn't have to ask those questions. Adam knew who his wife would be. God gave him to her. There was no question about it. Adam didn't have to worry about where should I live? Where is the God-honoring place that I am to live? There was no question about that. Why? God gave him Eden. He had prepared a garden, the best of all the creation God had made and gave to Adam. What was his career to be? He didn't have to ask. He didn't have to go to a career advisor or a counselor at school and say, I don't know what my aptitudes are. Let me take a test because I'm not sure what to do. What did God tell him to do? Here's this garden. I want you to dress and keep it. Now, you say, well, those are simple questions. They're not simple questions. They're simple, I understand, simple in the terms of they're easy to ask, but the answers are hard to find at times. I've seen very many people answer the question, who should I marry, in the wrong way. It was pointed out last night there from the book of Genesis chapter 6 where the sons of God looked out, and what were they asking themselves about who to marry? They were asking, who's the most attractive? And so they were asking the wrong question, and because they asked the wrong question, they came to the wrong answer, and the wrong answer brought disastrous results. I've seen young people who choose their career without asking the right questions. They're asking, how much will it pay? Now, obviously, we must be able to provide for our families in this world, but there are so many careers that the very nature of the career will rob you of your Christian service and discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just a fact. There's no doubt about it. And we've seen many who have been lost to the faith because of the choice they made in their career, and it all started with the question of what will it do for me as far as promotion in this world, or what will it do for me for financial advice? Advancement. They asked the wrong question and they came to the wrong conclusion. It's interesting, the very first question, it was not asked by God. All through Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, as God is creating, there's no question. God did not say, light, will you appear? He just said, let there be light. And there was light. In Genesis 1, from the beginning to the end of creation, God just ordered. He decreed it so, and it existed. God made the world out of nothing. And here it continues to hang by the preserving word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have to ask the world if it wanted to be created. He didn't have to ask if it wanted to exist. He didn't ask Adam how he wanted to be formed. He just did so. Now, as we read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, which Genesis 2 just gives us a deeper look into Genesis chapter 1, we find that there's only one thing that God said negative about all the creation. He said, it is not good that man be alone. And so he made Eve so that Adam would have a helpmeet. But then comes Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3 is one of the most consequential chapters in all the Bible. Now, if you cannot believe Genesis 1:1, you might as well throw the rest of it out anyway. If you cannot believe that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you cannot believe that, there's nothing else in the Bible worth believing. Because even the keeping of your souls, how is that done? By a faithful what? Creator, according to the Apostle Peter. So God being a creator God is important even for the preservation of your eternal life. So if God is not the creator God, as we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, then nothing else the Bible says matters anyway. But after the creation, the most consequential moment in human history until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is found here in Genesis chapter 3. It would alter the course of human history. It would alter the life that Adam had with God prior to this chapter and afterwards for the rest of his days. And it all started because there was a beast of the field that was more subtle than anything else called the serpent. The Bible calls him the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. How was he a murderer? Because he killed the fellowship between God and men. Now Adam bears the guilt. He could have said no, but he willfully followed along with his wife, and he willfully particular sin. He willfully took of a fruit that God said you're not to eat of it. That's clear. But notice, this beast comes in and says, yea, hath God said? It's the first question mark of the Bible. God does not introduce confusion into this world. God is the source of clarity for this world. As we heard last night from Genesis chapter 6, when God commanded the construction of the ark, he provided for man light, he provided for him what he needed to see heavenward, and he still does so today. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we find the clarity that we need to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in a faithful way. Thankfully,